Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Now it is time to pivot, to become agents of change. Join us each week as we provide relevant content for the economic developers' pivot from reaction to renaissance. We believe that when leaders get stronger, communities thrive.
Hey everyone, I'm here with Ron, and we're going to be launching a three-part series today, Ron. So we're going to do part one of three. And I know you're really excited about this series. So before we dive in and kind of uncover what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of episodes, I just wanted to see how you were doing today.
I am post-COVID lockdown awesome.
Well, that is fantastic. And I've had the opportunity of kind of seeing your leadership in action during these last several months, which has been very, very interesting time, as many people can relate. Yeah. And we've been through lots of ups and downs. And I know that for you, this idea of coming out of crisis and into renaissance and beginning to adapt to a new normal and just kind of get back in the game is really on your heart right now. So before we dive into what kind of our plans are for this episode, I would love for you to just share kind of where you're at as a leader and what you think that our listening audience needs to hear at this time as businesses begin to reopen and people begin to kind of return to what life was like in definitely a new way.
Yeah, I think I happen to be a change junkie, and people who are regular listeners know that. And so even I didn't like this much change at once, but that's our reality. And it would be easy to feel like, and I still see a lot of people feeling this way, like something was taken from them. And I get it. I mean, I was in that funk for a few weeks. You know, I had a couple of friends who passed away during this, not from COVID, but from other circumstances. But I couldn't go to their funerals, and I couldn't say goodbye, and couldn't see family members, you know, couldn't see our team. And it felt like things were being ripped away. Now, we were blessed because organizationally, we not only got to keep working, we were essential and worked long, long, long hours. But the opportunities coming out of this are going to be incredible. And it doesn't matter if, you know, our listeners kind of break down into three groups, the faith-based community, business, and economic development. And all three of those areas are going to see a renaissance. All three are going to see new things. You know, we have to remind ourselves what came after the Spanish flu, the roaring 20s, came after that, a time of new excitement in our country, a time of new style, a time of new invention, time of exploration, a time where people had great joy. So from crisis comes opportunity, from opportunity comes great joy. So we've got to embrace that. But it's hard sometimes without a roadmap. And, you know, we gave all of our team members, when they came back to the office, a little small compass to remind them that great explorers don't have maps. They have compasses. So you know where you're going, but you don't know exactly how you're going to get there. So we've tried over, and hopefully over the next three episodes, we can kind of give people maybe the roadmap we've discovered so far, but it's still pretty general. If this is the map from Michigan to California, we don't exactly know where we're spending the night. We don't know where we're going to the bathroom. We don't know where we're eating, but we know we got to get there. And I think all of our organizations are counting on us as leaders to get there. And that's what we've got to be about. And frankly, I want to be brutal to our listeners. If you're not about taking your group and your organization and getting there to the next place, then think about stepping down. Think about taking a season as a mentor and lifting up somebody else on your team, lifting up others to drive change, because it's going to be hard. It's going to be exhausting, but it will be the most critical leadership decisions you make are going to be in this next 3 or 4 years as we take our organizations to the next stratosphere.
Absolutely. So what Southwest Michigan First has done is create a little guidebook. And so we're going to be talking in sections about several of the important elements of that guidebook. As Ron referenced, it being a little bit of a roadmap. It's really designed to get leaders thinking about critical questions that they should begin to ask as they move from crisis to renaissance in their own companies and with any future innovations for their customers or clients as they kind of navigate their way out of what was a very traumatic and crisis response for several months. But now we need to, as leaders, as Ron mentioned, begin to really think about those new opportunities. And that has to be intentional work. And it has to be intentional about opportunistic versus just living in the crisis. So that guidebook is available in the show notes. So if you go to ronkitchens.com, you'll be able to access the entire guidebook there and download it. But we're going to talk today about part one of that guidebook. And our focus for today's episode is really on looking at your services and your brand as an organization. And I think that this is really important because as we've all learned during crisis, being in tune with the people who are important to you, whether that's your customer, your board members, all of your stakeholders, if you are the one that's listening and responding, you have so much access to great information and you're going to be the one that they remember. When all of this, you know, becomes something of the past, you're going to be the one that they remember as helpful, reliable, and listening and responding to needs. And so it's more important than ever to really focus on your services and to start to think about what things have changed in your service model, what things need to change in your service model, and what are the new areas of opportunity for your service model. So Ron, in terms of listening to your stakeholders and really starting this like service reinvention as a company, what were kind of your thoughts on, you know, what you hope the listening audience and those reading the guidebook really take home from that, you know, like really, really reinvesting in those relationships around listening about your services and reinventing them?
It's a great question. We're in a psychological recession, right? So, you know, it's funny. We see the stock market's roaring back. Interest rates are low. But everything is so funky, and it's what we're doing to ourselves. Get past the health risk, but it's our own psyche that creates this. Well, the first thing that you learn in leadership is, well, just go lead. Go do something. Get out in front of the crowd. Like Willie Nelson said, leadership is finding a parade and getting in front of it. But the truth is, right now, leadership is listening. Leadership is telling people you're important. And the way I'm going to show you that you're important is by looking you in the eye and listening to you, not trying to solve your problem for you, acknowledging that I hear you. But, you know, we talk about keeping your ear to the ground, you know, making sure that you're hearing real perceptions, not what it was 90 or 120 days ago. And not what people are telling themselves in their brain. And Brené Brown teaches us well, you know, that we all have self-talk and most of our self-talk's negative. And so you got to get past the fear and anxiety of that to begin to listen and say, what are you really saying? What are you sensing and feeling? How is this time period affecting how people are engaging with your organization? You know, there was a, you know, and I don't even know quite how to say it, it's still so raw, but when racial unrest flared, because it didn't start, it really has been something in our country that's percolating for years now, but when the flares really hit, a lot of leaders just didn't know what to say, but you had a lot of them who rushed out and said really stupid things. And I don't believe that they had malice in their hearts. They just didn't listen. And they didn't know how raw the emotion was for those who were experiencing it. And that goes on the health issues. It goes, you know, across the board. You know, it's the old thing of, you know, if you're unemployed, if your neighbor's unemployed, unemployment rate's 9%. If you're unemployed, it's 100%. And so the rawness of that, the rawness of the worry of what if my job never comes back? And we have jobs that are never going to come back. And so, you know, we need to listen to people, but we also need to remember that just being a sponge doesn't do anyone any good. A wet sponge at some point won't absorb any more water. So, you know, the analogy we use, you have to laugh together and you have to cry together. So you've got to gather and process and, you know, and go from there. And that is hard right now because we all don't know where people are. So, you know, the one thing is please don't do it on your social media. Nobody needs that. You know, my phone's laying right here and you and Faye are here. And I want to show you there are no social media links on my phone because I found that I was driving myself into that psychological recession of, you know, looking at all this foolishness or thinking, how could you be so blind to others' pain by those things you've said? And we've seen CEO after CEO lose their jobs and their companies over saying stupid things. So we're not saying you got to react to that, but in an interpersonal way to know it, you have to know when to laugh and when to cry. And so I think that's critically important. And it's important to, as we use it, to kind of machete away the funk to move on to the roaring 20s. We've got to do that. And then we got to mind the gaps and know where, you know, others are feeling left out and where there are opportunities. And, you know, what are those opportunities to reach out to, you know, peer organizations and say, hey, let's share a service. Where are those opportunities to say, hey, what do you think about merging? What do you think about acquisition? I serve on several boards of companies, and every company I'm on, we're looking to acquire somebody, and I won't say a competitor, but somebody who's been a collaborator in the future. And you've got to learn to do that, but you've also got to learn from each other. So, you know, we've spent, you and I couldn't even hazard a guess, probably combined over 1,000 hours talking to people over the last 3 months about what are your needs, wants, and desires, and how do we help you by being part of your success, and how do we both align with that? So I think it's critical that we understand those strategies and our services and how we participate.
You know, Ron, I really like your wet sponge analogy because I think that as leaders, you know, information and data has been so essential in how we make decisions. But the data recently has just changed so rapidly that if you rely on the data from your initial survey or your initial conversation with a company or a friend or any place, and then you kind of, as you said, let that sponge get full and stay wet, eventually a wet sponge also stinks when it's not wrung out. And so you do really have to do something with it. And for me, I think, especially with what's going on and just the rapid changes of what's happening, it's so important to continue listening. It's not a one time, like we need to gather information and, you know, have all these conversations and then do something with them. Yes. But you need to keep that dialogue open, especially in times like this, because things are changing so frequently. So it really kind of goes back to that core foundation of having really good relationships where you can keep open dialogue and your stakeholders do view you as worthwhile of sharing that time. So for those organizations that have had strong relationships with their stakeholders prior, this is definitely an advantage for them. And if you haven't, this is definitely a time to make sure that you're really building those relationships now so that you're able to weather this storm. Switching gears a little bit, still talking about services, but one of my favorite things that you've said the team over and over again. And it's resonated again as we begin to think about how our team comes out of crisis and moves into renaissance, is this idea of if not us, then who? And there's a lot of things that have come to light in the past, 60 to 90 days of people needing different services, needing different support. And there's always the things where you're like, well, who in the community does that? And you always said to us, like, if not us, then who? So can you talk a little bit about that statement and how that really impacts an organization's ability to figure out what's in their wheelhouse and what's not in their wheelhouse as they begin to redefine services?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some changes in what we all do. Doesn't matter what business sector, community service, faith-based that you're in, some of the things you're doing are not going to be relevant anymore. And just because times change, they may come back. But there are things that need to be done now. And it may be something that's on your heart as an organization. But there may be three people already doing it. And maybe your role isn't to also do it. Maybe your role is to help them go be great, is to put resources behind them, to loan your team's expertise, to provide funding for that. But if there really isn't anyone doing it or who can do it at the level that it needs to be done, then you've got to step up and do that yourself. But you've got to be honest. And in these times of crisis, too many of us believe in the idea, and I'm all in on it, is, leap and the net will appear. Don't worry about safety. But you have to make sure you have enough resources. Because one of the worst things you can do is in this world is ask somebody what they need, offer help, and then don't deliver, because now they feel victimized twice. And they're right in feeling that way. So what we need to do is make sure if we're going to do something, we have the resources to do it, and that we can align our resources, our time, talent, and treasure to do that and be really clear and honest. And I see a lot of groups right now who are scared and anxious that maybe there's not a place for them in the future. And so they're trying to do all of these things. And that's just, it's a bit cruel to say it this way, but they've entered hospice and they don't know it. And so instead of floundering and trying to do anything that says, look at me, we're relevant, They need to go out and say, what can only we do that would be great for our community, our church, our customers? And then how do we go do that? And I think that's critical that we do that.
Absolutely. And I think that it's also critical that we do that and bring our team along, and not only bring our team along, but know that the trust between stakeholders, for us as a mission-driven organization that is really foundational in this community, that stakeholders, our community, and our team really understand what we're doing to the best that we're able to communicate. And I know that the saying is kind of, if trust is king, then communication is the crown. But it's so important. Communication is so important right now. And again, as people are coming out of a crisis response, it's hard to remember everything that's happened. So you have to over communicate during this time. And we've talked about that on this podcast for years, about how over communication is so important to your team, because things change. And just as humans, you only can absorb so much. So you have to be reminded often of why things changed and what the plan is, and that hearing things on repeat, it works for a reason, and that's why people do it. And so really over communicating and making sure that people know what changes there are to the company in terms of strategies, understanding like how you're planning to share information and, who is doing what, so that your team over the course of changing and revamping services, aren't stepping all over each other and getting frustrated.
And I think you've done a great job over the last 90 days or so of, because you're managing, a fairly large 15 or so people and, direct and indirect reports that have had to buy into the idea that as a leader, we're going to give you our best vision of where we're going. But you need to understand it's 8 o'clock at night. It's foggy and we only have one headlight. So we're going and we can only go one block at a time as we're giving you this. So we're going to give you our best vision. But please trust us that to know that we absolutely believe things are going to change. And this isn't 100% accurate. Don't put any of this in stone, but know that we're going to be honest and transparent with you. And I think that's what, the polling nationally tells us is the reason people trust. If they have trust during this time, they trust their leader from work more than they trust the media or elected officials. And I don't think it's because those people are necessarily more trustworthy. It's they're more honest and transparent and said, we're all in this together. We'll figure it out. None of us have ever done it. And let's go do it together. And I think that's one of the things that you've done really well. And other than the fact that you just quoted Richard Nixon of essentially the reason politicians repeat themselves is it works, and as leaders, we have to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, going back to, that analogy of, it's 8 o'clock at night and it's foggy and we only have one headlight. I think that, again, when you begin to think about it, it's easier to do that with a team when you have a team that trusted each other going in and there was some level of trust and rapport going in. It's a lot harder if your team is not in a place where they're engaged because it's a lot harder to trust a leader that you don't necessarily have that trust built with. And I think it's a lot easier to move a team forward when you can say, like, I'm making my best decisions, but I need you with me to see things that I may not be seeing as we embark on this journey. So I would just encourage people to over-communicate during this time. Keep your people really close to you. And truly, when we talk about listening to stakeholders, also be really listening to your team and how they're doing and what they need so that you can maintain that trust as an organization. So Ron, before we close out today's episode, I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about the brand, the organizational brand. Like we've just went through an entire, well, it seems like a year, but it hasn't. I think we've this has been like maybe since March, but it seems like forever. But it's changed so much about not only how people are conducting their businesses. There's been so many businesses that have had to completely pivot, have had to completely change what they're doing, have had to relaunch all training protocols, all, move to e-commerce, like you name it, a company has had to do it. And part of that is, how do you communicate to that general audience and what does your brand say about you? And brand is so important. And this is kind of a time where you really need to refresh and make sure that you're relevant. And relevancy right now is critical if you want to stay in the game because people need to know why you do what you do and what your, return on investment is and why they should choose you and what your values are. So can you talk a little bit about why you feel like it's really important for businesses to kind of brush out that old, outdated and kind of out of line, out of step branding and really come into this post-COVID. It's more than post-COVID. It's really like the year 2020. Like it just feels like the year of 2020 came in with a bang and it's changed the game on how you need to view yourselves and how other people need to really engage with your brand.
When I think of brand, we're not talking about your logo. We're not talking about your stationery. We're talking about people's perception of you, their trust and belief in you. And over the past 90 days, 4 months that we've been in all this mess, I've spent a lot of time trying to study leaders and different business models. And so there's a bakery in New York. They're actually, I think, on the West Coast now too, called Milk Bar. And Christina Tosi is the founder of Milk Bar. Well, I knew it was not my thing. I know you and Cynthia love the Milk Bar, and we've actually done some events with Christina's team, but I didn't pay any attention to them until I heard her on a podcast talking about having to shut down, you know, their New York City bakeries, how they had pivoted to some online stuff, but their stuff really wasn't geared towards shipping. But then what got me is she said, so every day I'm baking on Instagram. I wonder what that means. So what she's done is on Monday, she'll post a list of ingredients. And then on Tuesday, you use those ingredients and bake that dessert with her, that bread with her. And every day is a new list of ingredients and every day is a new baking. Well, I don't know any other bakery now in New York that every time I'm in New York and want a sweet, I'm finding Milk Bar, because she's built a brand that she said, in this time where I'm lost, I'm going to serve you. Not I'm going to write a book about how great I am. Not I'm going to go do podcasts to try to hawk baked goods over the internet. I'm going to serve you. And that's going to be my mission. And the bake stuff's been fun because it's okay. If you don't have this ingredient in your cupboard, just use this thing. If you don't have graham crackers to make the crust, use pretzels. If you don't have pretzels, use this. If you don't have, and it's been so much fun following her on this journey. But I know who her brand is now. I know she's just not about expensive New York City, beautiful baked goods. She's about serving people. And that's what we have to convey to our customers, to those that we serve and value, is we're going to serve you even if the rules change. We're going to serve you even if I can't sit down in your place of work. We're going to serve you because we're going to ask you what's important to you. And we're going to do so in a way that is so transparently loving and joyful that when times turn around, you won't be able to imagine doing business with anybody else but us.
And again, it goes back to that building that relationship and that rapport. And we as humans, more now than ever, want to do business with people that we trust and like and companies that we respect. And so it's so important. When you're thinking about your organizational brand, like, do people know who you are and have a personal relationship to you and what you do? And are you relatable? And also, like, does your company stand behind the things that really matter right now to people? And if not, then you need to figure out how to communicate that, because those that don't stand by something will just seem like not the best option. Like, we want to do business with those that we see that feel like they're doing good, and it makes us feel good giving them a dollar because they're doing something good with that dollar.
That's right. You know, the singer, songwriter, musician, all around bon vivant, Jimmy Buffett, is famous at his concerts for saying, I need you all to know that I'm wasting your money on an incredible lifestyle. And people buy into that. They buy into the joy of, you know, imagining that he's, you know, wasting away in Margaritaville. He happens to be building resorts and golf courses and all those things. But, you know, but he starts with the beginner mind of, here's who we were when we started together. Here's what we valued about our relationship together. Now, let's go back to that. Now, if we can still do that, we can still agree upon those things, then we can build next from there instead of trying to, it's like a pebble in a pond. If we start at the point of impact of the pebble, that's the core of where the energy is. We know that the ripples get lighter as they go out. So if we try to start a relationship at the edge of the ripples, the amount of energy there at that edge is too weak to build our next impact from. So we have to go back to our core. We have to go back to the center of the pebble in the pond, take that energy, and then radiate out again to build our businesses, build the attendance in our church, build you know, the cause that we're trying to cure with our not-for-profit, but go back to that center of impact that, you know, is the, as you know, I was taught earlier by a leadership coach, start with the beginner mind, go back to where you started from and work from there again. And I think that's key to what, to where we are as leaders and where we can go. If, you know, I'm super excited about the future. I don't, you know, I'm so excited that, you know, if I was, you know, going fishing for Moby Dick in a rowboat, I'd take the tartar sauce with me. All right. I stole that line from Zig Ziglar, but I love that line. That's how excited I am. And so those that are, you know, are there a lot of tough times coming? Absolutely. But I'd rather do tough times with positive people than tough times with Eeyore. It's just not going to be who I am.
Absolutely. And I think that is a great way to close the podcast of today, which was really focused on that part one of the Crisis from Renaissance book, ebook that we did that was focused on your services and brands. And next week, we're going to be talking a little bit more about another segment of the book where we really talk about your people and your team. And I'm really excited about this section because there's one thing that we've learned during this time. It's that people are so important. And we always knew that. But when you see a team go through crisis, that ability to do things as a team and just how your team really reflects your brand and reflects your service is so important. So if you're not in it and treating your team well and with respect and with dignity and with compassion, then you're really going to miss the boat of how they are then going to show up for the people that they are interfacing with on behalf of your business. So I'm excited about next week, part two, your people and your team.
Awesome. We'll see you next week.
Hey, everyone. I'm here today with Steve Jast, who is the president and founder of Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. Hey, Steve, it's great to speak with you today. As one of the leading voices in investment attraction and lead generation, what has stuck out the most for you over the past few months?
Hi, Faye. Thanks so much for the question. First and foremost, let me say that I love the content that Consultant Connect has been generating. I'd also like to take a second to wish all of our listeners continued good health. Every day is really a new adventure. We're seeing some sad stories of industries and companies in steep, unexpected decline, and we're also seeing areas of growth and opportunity. A couple of areas that have generated significant strategic discussion center around supply chain and reshoring. To help economic developers blend these into their strategic plans moving forward, we've been providing complementary data pools and access to our Gazelle AI platform.
That's really awesome, Steve. I'm sure this data has helped many economic development organizations. Can you explain how exactly Gazelle AI helps?
Sure. Yeah, great question, Faye. Our platform includes supply chain data for over 900 industries with related company listings. We also have complete company hierarchies, meaning users can build lists of companies that have an HQ in a specific state or country with manufacturing activities in other specific countries. This is ideal for economic recovery planning, reshoring business attraction strategies, understanding local supply chains, and overall investment attraction.
Wow. Thanks, Steve. Hey, everyone, if you would like to activate your complimentary access to Gazelle AI, connect with Steve by emailing him at Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at gazelle.ai. That's Steve at gazelle.ai. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Tune in again next week for more insight and relevant content to the issues impacting economic development today. America's Jobs Team podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI.